This morning, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to speak to you on this theme, the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith. The Bible says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, work with patience, the trying of your faith. There are several different men in the Bible that have the name James. And we believe that this particular author of the book of James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He's a half-brother because Jesus had no father, earthly father, that is. Matthew 13, 55, God's word reads, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? So here we have this James mentioned in the Word of God, that referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people, I think I tend to agree that even when Jesus was in his earthly ministry, some people believe that James was not even saved, if you will. And if you study it out, you'll see that actually Jesus, after his resurrection, actually made an appearance to James as well. And so we have this man writing to us today about various things in life. Matthew Henry says this about James, and I found it to be very insightful, and I hope it will encourage you. He said, though he was a prime minister in Christ's kingdom, yet he styles himself only a servant. If we look at the first verse, it says, James, a servant. This is the word doulos. We might even say a bond slave. He says, I'm a slave of God. Now, in our 2025 mindset, when we hear the word slave of God, maybe you have a negative connotation to that. And yes, rightfully so, the word does have a bit of a negative connotation. But when we think about it in biblical terms, we're going to be a slave, period. Choose your master carefully. You are a slave today, whether you like it or not. You're either a slave like James as to God, or we're a slave to the world, the flesh, and the devil. That threesome has done a lot of damage, hasn't it? You know, I think it's true. My worst enemy is me. My worst enemy is me. Am I going to be a slave to my flesh? Am I going to be a slave to this world? Or am I going to be a slave to the devil? Or am I going to be a bond servant, a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ? And by the way, he is the best master you could ever have, because he loves us. He loves you. So it's not the mindset of what you might think of in slavery, but it's more of the idea of being a servant of God. And so he says, though he was a prime minister in Christ's kingdom, yet he styles himself only a servant. Then he goes on to say, note hence, those who are highest in office or attainments in the church of Christ are but servants. The greatest of these is the servant. Do you find yourself being a servant? Or do you find yourself always being served? It's a question you must ask, and you must confront yourself in the mirror, right? And ask yourself, am I a servant? You know the answer to the question. I know the answer for me. I need to be a greater servant. I think God has enabled me, and it's only by the grace of God, to be somewhat of a servant, but not what I need to be for the Lord. I need to be a far greater servant. Because too many times, you know who I'm thinking about? Not others, but me. Now, it is me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. That's not what we're talking about. The Bible says he was a servant. Then he said, they should not therefore act as masters, but as ministers. Wow, what a great thought. I know I stopped, and that was jarbled. It's a quote, but I jarbled it up a little bit there. But so the goal in life, as James says, is to be a servant and to minister to people. What a great privilege it is. By the way, let me just add this. This is not about marriage per se in this text, but I think we can say that in our homes, it would be very wise as the husband or the wife not to set out to be served, but to serve. And it doesn't matter if you're being served or if it's coming back and being reciprocated. That is not the motivation for being a servant. The motivation for being a servant is to be more like Christ. So in the home is where it should start, in the marriage relationship, but not just in the marriage relationship, within our parenting, but also kids, you should be serving your family. You should be serving your siblings, not with a knuckle sandwich. Not that kind of service, okay? We served a few of those in my day, 3 brothers in my home, and in my home growing up. And anyway, we'll just continue on with other things. but that kind of serving. But yeah, that's right. The Lord's forgiving. Amen. But serving one another. Well, that's his job. Well, why can't you do it? What kind of attitude is that, right? That's not a good attitude. And so sometimes, even within our homes as siblings, we need to be willing to serve. Why? Again, it's not even for the benefit of the individual. That is not why we serve. Why do we serve? We serve to bring honor and glory to God. Why do we serve? We serve to show the love of Christ. Why do we serve? Because the greatest of these is the servant, and we're not trying to be great, but we're trying to be Christ-like. James says, I am a doulos. I am a bond slave for God. You know, that's not a popular way to live your life in 2025, right? Right? We have selfies, right? I'm guilty, all right? I'm guilty. We have selfies. I mean, just the name of it itself, okay? Doesn't bode to saying, don't bode to serving. One of the things that James speaks about, though, as he talks about this being a servant, he says in verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Notice a couple of words there that stand out. There's various words, of course, and every one of them have meaning. But the word when is something that always catches my attention in this verse. By the way, James is a book that we really, as believers, we need to get a hold of it. And we need to be in it and read it. And would you pray for me as we journey through this? God willing, we're going to try to work our way through this. Not all this morning. But James says when. Obviously, he's writing to believers. And my brethren. And yes, maybe the original authorship of this book is written to the Jews that are scattered abroad. But all scripture is profitable for you and for me today. And so we don't just write it off because it says that in verse number 1, but now we want to glean from it whatever God has for us. But notice he says when. G.K. Chesterton said this, I believe in getting into hot water. I think it helps. I think it keeps you clean. Hot water. What's he referring to? He's referring to trials. He's referring to troubles. He's referring to, as James in our English Bible says, temptations. And how can this trying of our faith be good for us? It doesn't seem like it would be good for us. Why does it have to be difficult? Why does there have to be trouble? How do we handle it? How do I handle trouble? How do you handle trouble? I think if I had time to interview everyone in this room this morning, at some point within the interview, we would discover trouble. Maybe in your personal life. Maybe within your family unit. Maybe within your extended family. Maybe within your workplace. It wouldn't take long. And somewhere within that talk, over a coffee or something, tea or something, it would quickly go to, after we get all the pleasantries and the greetings and all of that out of the way, not that we don't need those, but quickly when the rubber meets the road, we're going to discover everybody in this room, the preacher included, would talk about in some way trouble. What do we do with this? You know, a lot of people, this is unfortunate, a lot of people, and maybe even it couldn't be you, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but a lot of people just try to ignore it. That is not the way to deal with trouble. I can tell you that right now. Because I've had many people come to me after years and years and years and days and weeks and decades, folks. And say, this has been going on for, and they put this long number of years. Thank you, guys. And God is the God of the impossible, yes. But God is not wanting you and wanting me when trouble comes into my life, whether it be God ordained or what's all God allowed, whether it be something that I brought on, right? Self-inflicted trouble. Anybody have any of that in their life? Yeah, be honest now. The invitation, we're not closing our eyes, okay? If your hand's not up, I don't know why you didn't raise your hand, because everybody's inflicted themselves with trouble. The worst thing we can do when trouble comes is, like we said the other night, be the ostrich. Now I know that bird, and I'll remember that. All right, thank you, Miss Gabriella. I might use it too many times, so forgive me. What do? They just stick their head in the sand. Folks, you can't stick your head in the sand and then expect all the troubles to go away. It doesn't happen that way. The trouble that has come into your life, as James says here, my brethren, count it all, what's the next word? Joy. Boy, that's a word we want to circle. So one of the things that we need to write down and we need to meditate on when trouble comes into our life, what do we do about it? We don't ignore it. Can I really help you? I'm trying to encourage you today. If you have trouble right now in your life, don't just think it's going to go away because of time. It's like me and my car. The rattle in the car, it'll go away. I'm telling you, this has been my philosophy at times. Thankfully, right now, there's no rattles. Okay, but this has been my philosophy. The rattle in the car, it'll get better over time. Folks, that does not happen. The only way that happens is when the piece falls off. Then the rattle's gone, but you're lost a piece, okay? We cannot treat our trouble in our home and in our life or in our family or in our church. We cannot treat a trouble by ignoring it and just closing our eyes to it. Because what's going to happen is the trouble is not going to get smaller. You know what's going to happen? The trouble is going to grow. Eventually, it's going to be a giant in the room, like the elephant in the room, they say. And everywhere we turn, and everywhere we walk, and everywhere we go, it's that trouble. So, please, can you ask the Lord, if we just ended the meeting right now, we won't end it right now, but if we ended the meeting right with just this, and we said, look, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to have courage to seek help with whatever trouble is there. Don't wait until it's stage four. Many times people do go to the hospital not knowing anything. That's different. No symptoms, and all of a sudden a symptom, and boom, you know, you've heard of all that. I'm not making light of that. That's very serious. But in this case, trouble normally is waving a flag at us and saying, hey, I'm here. There's trouble. And we, you know what? And Satan is laughing. He's laughing with the deepest belly laugh he could ever have, because he's watching people who claim to be Christians, and I'm not saying we're not, but because I'm saying this because we have access. We have very access to the Spirit of God. We have access to the Father through the Son. We have access to get help when trouble comes. He is our ever-present help. In what? Trouble. God is saying, hey, Ben, I'm over here. I know you've got trouble because I'm God. I'm omniscient and I'm over here. Why aren't you coming to me? Hey, Ben, I know you've got trouble. Why aren't you talking? Why aren't you going to the pastor? Why aren't you going to a brother? Why aren't you going to a sister? Why aren't you asking somebody to pray with you? Why aren't you seeking help? Ignoring trouble. Oh, it's the worst thing we could ever do. Because James says here, when they come. That's why I know everybody in this room either has trouble, had trouble, or will have trouble. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a negative statement that I just made. Because the trying of your faith worketh many things. And one of them is patience. Yes. So when trouble comes, what is it an opportunity to do? It's an opportunity not for us to ignore it. It's not for us to ignore it. It's for us to go to the God of heaven and say, God, I brought this trouble in. I'm responsible. So maybe there's some repentance that needs to be done. And now, God, because of my sin, I'm repenting of that sin. And I know 1 John 1:9, I claim that verse. I know you're willing to forgive me. So please forgive me. Now, God, I don't want this trouble to be on my shoulder for the rest of my life. But you've said in your word that the trying of my faith. So, God, I want to come through this trouble with greater, stronger faith. Then we can say, boy, God took that trouble and he turned it on top of its head and he made all things work together, even trouble, because all means all. But if we ignore it, it's not good. Don't ignore it. Don't carry a weight that you have not been intended to carry. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him. For he careth for you. These are verses that we maybe have known for years, but I hope it's not just information. Bible memory is great. We were studying it yesterday in our discipleship time. Bible memory is great. But if it's just memorizing to have a bunch of facts in our head with Bible verses in them and nothing happens and changes in our life, what's the purpose? No, the Bible is a life-changing, life-thinking, life-altering book. And it's not there for you and for me just to have it on our shelf and pick it up. And, you know, pick it up. Heard somebody this week, I think it was the youth conference I was watching online, about putting the Bible in the back of the car and then picking it back up. I don't remember where I heard that, but I heard that this week somewhere. No, the Bible has been intended for you and for me, especially in times of trouble. Trials will reveal what kind of faith we have. Trouble reveals faith. We live in a fallen world. I think everybody knew that, but can I remind you of that? We live in a fallen world. I live in a fallen body. And you live in a fallen body. Nobody here has the glorified body yet. So putting all of that into play, trouble is there. Every trial or trouble that comes into our life is a test of our faith. I'm glad that I don't have many other school tests to take in life. But when you take a test, there are two things you can do when you take a test. You can pass or you can fail. Right? I mean, we're striving for excellence. I'm not saying, you know, we don't want to go for that A, whatever. I'm just saying it's really divided up into two categories, pass or fail. It's just like this when it comes to a trial or a trouble. And to me, this is a very challenging thing to meditate on, and I have been meditating on it because I wonder this morning, am I passing the test or am I failing? When they come, so the test is coming. And then if we just close our eyes when the test comes, that doesn't mean the test is going to go away. But when that test comes, the trial of our faith, that testing comes, now we've got a chance to exercise our faith. And by the way, that faith is not even from us. That faith is a gift from God. Because nothing in me, dwelleth no good thing in me. But when I'm attached to Him, trouble comes. I don't ignore it. I say to the vine, I say, Lord Jesus, this is trouble. This is difficult. This is challenging. But I know you're right there with me. And I'm looking forward to seeing God. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to get some help if I need it. I'm going to stay in the Word. I'm going to stay on my knees. I'm going to speak to someone, have more people praying about this trouble. And on the other side, I know my faith is going to be stronger. That will cause the devil's knees to start knocking. Because when your faith and my faith is exercised, guess what happens? That next trial or trouble comes. Now we remember what God did last time. If we're still ignoring trouble, we have nothing to grow from. If you're ignoring the trouble in your life, you have nothing to grow from. God says, I want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18, I think it is. The last verse of 2 Peter, the last verse that he penned, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to grow in trouble. The trying of your faith. It should cause each of us today to consider the situation at hand in our life that you might be dealing with. Everyone is taking a test. Robert Johnston wrote about the book of James many years ago. James shows that where there is but an empty profession or a mere dreamy sentiment, unbased on firm and intelligent convictions of truth, the fire of trouble will burn them up. That's a heavy statement. An empty profession or mere dreamy sentiment. There's something difference between a profession and a possession. Many people can just profess whatever about Christ, but there's nothing internal. It's just all external. And when something comes into their life, yeah, they're just burnt up. Not literally. Why? Because it was just a empty, dreamy, emotional, nothing wrong with emotion, but that's all it was. There wasn't anything that took deep root in their life. The trying of your faith. He went on to say, you put a believer, a true believer, in a test, and it will drive him to despair about his own weakness. I'm going to read that one more time. Please listen. I know you're listening, but listen even more intently. You put a true believer in a test, and it will drive him or her to despair about his own weakness. And it will drive him in prayer to lean on the strength rather of God rather than their weakness. Do you know, I think there's sometimes in your life and mine that we know we're weak, but we're still leaning on our weakness. And we're still trying. And God is saying over here, I got lots of muscle. All you got to do is lean on me. Lean on me. Lean on my everlasting arms. Amen. So these troubles or trials are not bad. They are really refining moments. And God wants them to cause you and cause me to be in more prayer, leaning on God's strength,
rather than our own weakness.
Would you go with me to the book of Job? Job chapter 5. The trying of your faith.
I want to encourage you as you're turning to Job chapter 5.
I want to encourage you, please, really seriously, think about this. If you're ignoring trouble, I can't get past that. If you're ignoring trouble and just trying and trying and trying and just ignoring it, please pray to God, pray to the God of heaven. If you're saved, you have access. If you're not saved, you don't have access to God. I know that sounds really, really rude, but it's biblical. You cannot go to God unless you have the Son. It's impossible. Now, God still has mercy on the lost. I believe that. But I'm talking about this help that we need, that we're talking about as believers. We have the Spirit of God. We go through the Son of God to God. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to take that trouble to God and say, God, I'm no longer ignoring this. Because you know what eventually happens when we ignore it? Eventually the devil just plucks us right out of the church and we don't go to church anymore. We stop reading the Bible. We stop going to church. We just walk away from everything God. And again, the devil, he just says, strike up the band, guys. We got another one. When really all that needed to happen was when the trouble came, we go to the God who is all sufficiency. We go to the God who is all-knowing and all-loving and all-powerful, and we humble ourselves before God, whether it's self-inflicted or maybe even somebody caused the trouble in your life. But you know why it comes. Look what Job 5 says, Job 5, 7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Turn over to chapter 14. I recognize there's some in the room, you might say, today you might say, Pastor, I have this trouble, but I did not ask for this. I didn't bring this on. This just, it came. Yes. Probably many could say that. So what do we do with it? Do we still just ignore it? No. Job 14:1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days. Now, we just had a little baby in our sight last night, that little Matthias. Didn't even cry one little. I mean, he was only about 2.5 hours old out of the womb anyway. I mean, he's old 9 months, but God says that little baby, not even a day old yet, is full of trouble. And they'll know that soon enough, right? If you ever had a baby in your home, you know that they're full of trouble. Another thing I like about Job 14:1, it clears up some confusion in 2025. You say, what do you mean? Notice what it says there. Man that is born of a what? Or a who? A woman. Hey, the Bible had this figured out, didn't it? We got a bunch of confused people in 2025. Sad, really. Because it's coming from Satan. It's coming from Satan. All of it. But let me stay on the topic for today. How about Psalm 22? Let's turn over there quickly. Thank you for listening. Psalm 22. Oh, if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, writing down verses, this is one you're going to want to mark. Because here's what you do when trouble comes. You don't ignore it. Trials and difficulties come. I think we plead this verse, Psalm 22:11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Nobody understands my trouble, Pastor. Yes, somebody does understand your trouble. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus understands. God the Father understands. And the psalmist says here, God, please stay near me. Please stay near me. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. Maybe we could say that verse every day of our life. That's okay. Because we have promises in the Word of God. This is what we turn to when trouble comes. We don't ignore it. We go to the Word. And we search the Scriptures daily. For in them ye have eternal life. And then not only do we get saved by the Word of God, but we get sanctified by the Word of God. It cleans us up. Sometimes trouble has to help in that process, and God allows it to come in. But God doesn't leave us and abandon us and to squirm and worm. No, He has the Spirit of God in us, and we have the Word of God to bring some peace in that time of trouble. These trials come, the trying of our faith, they come in form of disappointments, frustrations, misunderstandings, unfulfilled dreams, unmet expectations, great loss. There are people in this room today that could talk about that in various ways. Loss brings grief. It brings, it's a trouble. But again, we live in this world. We cannot say, well, why does it happen to me? It happens to everybody. And no one is immune to trouble. Great loneliness. Fear. Criticism. Nobody likes to be criticized. Sometimes some productive, but what do they call it? Constructive criticism is a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing. I've had it come my direction many times. And at first, I don't really like it. Even the constructive kind. The other kind, I definitely don't like, but that's okay. Just think of the cross. If somebody's talking about you, just think about Jesus on the cross. It just keeps you from being, throwing it right back. That's not the Christ way of walking. But criticism, persecution, conflict. These are things, and many other words we could put, that cause trouble, challenging. And I think as we consider this today with this lesson, this short bit of into the book of James, these are troublesome things, and we're a lot of these troublesome things are external at the beginning. They're external. And can I submit to you, the sooner that we deal with them, the better it is, because what's going to happen is this. The external problems are going to become internal. What do I mean? They're going to become a part of our mind. And when they inevitably end up in the mind is such a challenging battleground. That's why we need to guard our mind. We need to guard our mind with the Word of God. We need to guard our mind from putting things into our mind that are not of God, that Satan could potentially use against us at some point in our life. Because isn't it amazing how much this, I mean, we have all these little things now that store all this information. It's amazing since even the church started and how we stored things on floppy disks. Anybody know what that is? Then that kind of dates you a little bit, sorry. We actually have some of those from year number one of the church, information stored on floppy disk. It'd be kind of hard to even access it these days, but actually we bought it. Anyway, we'll just keep going. But can you imagine, though, how much is stored right up here? And Satan is the expert at bringing up something that we stored up here that shouldn't have been stored up there and using it against me and using it against you. So you know what we've got to do? We've got to continuously put in things in this mind that pushes out the bad stuff. Because James said, let's look at it one more time. My brethren,
Count it all joy. We didn't even really get to that part. Next time. When ye fall. Into diverse temptations. This means various things. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And we're going to, that piano will play as always, and be an opportunity for you to come pray. Possibly you're here this morning and you're not saved. You don't know that you would go to heaven. This was not a, what we would say, a gospel message. It was a Bible message about the book of James. But God can save, and no matter what text is being given. Possibly the Holy Spirit of God is working on your heart even now. We were praying for that to happen. If there's anybody here that's not saved, that they would get saved even this morning. But how about the trouble of life? Could you ask the Lord this morning to, if you're ignoring it in any way, to say, this is it. I'm not ignoring this anymore. No more. I'm not coming to church with a smile on my face, walking out this door, and all the trouble is still vent up in me. Don't live that way. God has a far better way for you and me to live than to live a way that appears one way, but really it's not the way things are. I'm not saying that we don't leave and we have trouble. I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect day one, but you've got to start somewhere. I've got to start somewhere. I've got to give this trouble, this situation, I've got to give it to the Lord. I can't ignore it. Maybe I've got to talk to somebody. Maybe I've got to get a group of prayer people to pray with me, and just some people that I have some confidence in that would pray with me and not blab it all over the world. Look, Satan is real, and he's destroying. He's destroying homes. He's destroying testimonies. He's destroying Bible-preaching churches. And many times it all starts when how we dealt with trouble. It's not supposed to bring destruction. The trying of our faith worketh patience. If we don't deal with it properly, Satan will turn it upside down. So I hope that by the grace of God, we can all